from the Riverside Chevrolet Master Control Center. This is WACV Kusana, News Talk 93.1 FM. When it's Chevy, it's Riverside.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. The police chief in a Minneapolis suburb where a black man was fatally shot during a traffic stop says he believes the officer who fired intended to use a taser, not a handgun. Police Chief Tim Gannon described the shooting as an accidental discharge. The man was identified by relatives as 20-year-old Dante Wright. He died yesterday in Brooklyn Center. That's a city of about 30,000 people on the northwest border of Minneapolis. Michigan is asking for more coronavirus vaccines from Washington as the state battles a spike in cases. Meanwhile, officials in D.C. say that they're not going to send out additional vaccines, but they will offer other support. The average U.S. price of regular grade gasoline held steady over the past 2 weeks. Currently nationwide, the average is $2.94 a gallon. It's been slow going for the most part on Wall Street. Right now, the Dow is off by 101 points. This is SRN News.
If you're a radio listener, one thing I'm certain of is that you're not tuning in to listen to me. So I'm sorry about the next 45 seconds. But we have specifically chose this station because we think we're similar and we'd love for you to see why our mortgage team might be a good fit for you or someone you care about. One, we've got a direct lender advantage. Our mortgage team is an arm of a bigger company who is a direct lender. There's no middleman, which means our company gets to use its own money and make its own decisions within its own walls, an advantage that often allows us to get you a better rate, saving you monthly and lifelong money. Two, our faith is a big deal to us, and we're open about that. If we seem like a fit for you, we'd love to talk. We are United Faith Mortgage.
UnitedFaithMortgage.com. Nice.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp. 25 Melville Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to AnimalistConsumerAccess.org. Corporate Animalist number 1330. Ryan Vrack, Animalist number 65233. Equal housing lender. Licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
Rich Thomas Weather, a service of Wiley Sanders Truck Lines, a company placing God and family first. Great home time and great benefits with highly competitive pay. Wiley Sanders Truck Lines. Call them today.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Well, hi, everybody. For a change, we have a few good days to look forward to. What a great way to start the brand new week with plenty of sunshine today. High temperature up to about 84. Clear skies, cool tonight, but not too cool. Overnight low 54. Tomorrow, we'll have just about the same weather as today. Lots of sunshine, high temperature in the low to mid 80s. Then scattered showers and thunderstorms return to the forecast on Wednesday. Wednesday's high in the upper 70s. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
When you're shopping for a new car, truck, or SUV, getting a great rate shouldn't be a problem. ASE Credit Union makes auto loans easy with rates as low as 1.99% APR. Apply online or visit your local branch today. ASE Credit Union, your life, your goals, your ASE. Equal opportunity lender.
From Alabama News Network, I'm Andrew James. Here's a look at today's headlines. Millbrook police have made an arrest in connection to a shooting last week. Police have charged 17-year-old Willick Jamal Milner with attempted murder and firing a gun into an occupied vehicle. The victim is in the hospital in critical condition. The Alabama Department of Public Health says more than 2 million coronavirus vaccine doses have now been administered across the state. State health officials say more than 4,700 coronavirus cases have been confirmed in the last 2 weeks. And some local school systems are no longer requiring masks in schools. Op City Schools and Andalusia City Schools are no longer requiring masks, but are strongly encouraging them. This comes after Governor Kay Ivey's statewide mask mandate ended last Friday. And that's a look at today's headlines. For more on these stories and others, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Andrew James.
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers.
Have you ever noticed that many car dealers start their commercials with, "It's the best sale of the year. Push, pull, or drag your old vehicle in. No offer will be refused." At Larry Puckett Chevrolet, they don't make outrageous claims and have all that fast talk at the end of their commercials. They just offer great deals month in and month out. In April, you can save up to $6,500 on a new Silverado. Get 15% off the MSRP on a new Malibu or Equinox and save up to 17% on a new Trax. Larry Puckett has a great selection of pre-owned cars and trucks, all makes and models. If you have an extra vehicle that you want to sell, bring it in for an instant cash offer. They're paying top dollar to keep their lot full. Remember, LP doesn't just stand for Larry Puckett. It stands for the lowest prices in the River Region. Come into the dealer that lets the customers do the talking. Larry Puckett Chevrolet on Cobbs Ford Road in Prattville, or look them up online at LarryPuckett.com.
We get Montgomery talking 24 hours a day. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Well, not quite. If you are just tuning in, you've got substitute teacher today, also known as guest host, April Marie Fogel. We have been talking George Floyd and the Derek Chauvin trial. And we went into break with Will talking about the race war. And there is no doubt that there are individuals out there who thrive on causing discontent among groups of people. And whether it be black versus white, Republican versus Democrat, religious, non-religious, it is a booming business to cause controversy, and the media eats it up and spews it out like it is their job, and it's very concerning to me what is going to happen at the end of this trial. Because I don't know if he's convicted on the lesser charges, if there's a riot, if he's not convicted, if there's a riot, if he is convicted, there's riots. I genuinely worry about the safety of our communities and the businesses within those communities when this is all said and done, because I don't think it ends with a verdict. We've got Mike on the line. Mike, I understand you are a former law enforcement officer.
Well, I'm actually inactive, 33-year officer, and when this first started, I looked at the video, and the officer Chauvin's knee was on the neck of George Floyd, and way too long, and I looked at the criminal statute of that particular state, and it really fit third degree murder, because it had no intent.
We keep coming back to that.
Let me say this. I love your voice a lot better than I do Dan.
Appreciate it.
But the intent is not a factor in third degree murder. It basically just states that the actions of the officer led to the death of George Floyd. And I posted on Facebook, I lost a lot of good fellow officer friends that disagreed with me on Facebook, which they came around, and it's my opinion. And that's where it kind of becomes a problem. When you have an opinion that differs from somebody else, no matter if it's an officer, a citizen, or private citizen, whatever it is, I'm going to have my opinion. And now that the trial has been going on, I'm not quite sure if we can say that the death was due to the fact that the officer at his knee. I think he contributed, but can we say that George Floyd wasn't on drugs enough to where it led to his death? So you have two different autopsies, two separate autopsies. One stated that he died due to asphyxiation or lack of oxygen, and you had another one that said that he died as a result of overdose. So that's what the jury's looking for. I have no doubt that once the verdict doesn't go the way of certain people, certain individuals that disagree, it's going to get ugly. And I hate that. I really do. And because we as officers, and again, I'm a current active, you know, police officer, and I've got 33 years in, and that doesn't say that I know any more than anybody else. It just basically says that I've seen both sides of this. And I really, really wish that that people understand that we have 12 jurors that are looking at the evidence, and if they do not convict him, that's based on the evidence that they saw in court. And the media and us as individuals, we have our opinions based on what we saw. But the jury has all the evidence.
Correct.
The testimony, the prosecution, the defense, the officer, I tell you, I really honestly think that he held his knee on George Floyd's neck way, way too long. He should have set him up on his butt, had him cross his legs. And you can control an individual like that, especially if he's handcuffed behind his back. Now, you know, we, as officers, we've been there. You know, if we got any time on, we've been there. And you know, a lot of officers agree with me. You know, it was handled wrong. But I really don't think we need to burn anything down. I don't think we need to tear anything up. I just think that there's some reform that needs to happen. Police officers wear a lot of hats, and we've been asked over the years to wear a lot of different hats, and we do the best we can do. We go home, we have families, and we love our neighbors, and, you know, I don't know what else I can say other than the fact that you know, we took this job, I did, and a lot of my fellow officers took this job, not for the money, not for the praise, not for the attaboys or pats on the back. It's because we want to do for others.
Right. No, I'm with you. I appreciate you calling. Let me ask you a question. So I'm looking at the Minnesota, what the law says. And it says third-degree murder is a death caused by, quote, an act imminently dangerous to others and evincing a depraved mind without regard to human life. That second part isn't about intent, because I think most people would say that hold was imminently dangerous. But the question is, did he have a depraved mind and without regard to human life?
Well, is that talking about George Floyd? Is that talking about the individual holding his knee on the neck of George Floyd? I don't have the statute, criminal statute, in front of me, but I know that if you lack oxygen for a certain amount of time, you're going to die.
You're going to die. Right. Yep. It's, yeah.
So I just, you know, I don't know. I wish I, you know, I'm just, you know, basing my opinion on what I saw in the video. And when I first saw that video, I was like, oh my gosh, you know, this is so wrong.
I don't know how anybody could watch the video and not be moved to think that it was wrong. The question is, was it criminal? Or was it, and maybe the intent doesn't matter. I read that to think that intent is very important. And I know in the higher criminal charges it is, but
it's based on your actions.
Yeah.
If it's a negligence type.
Yeah, there is a negligence to it.
So it's like, yeah, I mean, you don't have to prove intent on third-degree murder according to that criminal statute, but it's the actions of the officer. Did that officer lead to the death of George Floyd? That's the question. And I don't know if it was due to the fentanyl that he had in his system or the lack of oxygen. I think the lack of oxygen contributed to it, absolutely.
I'm
not going to cover up for an officer.
Well,
you know, the job I have today, I lock up and arrest officers. That's what I do now. I investigate officers.
Got it.
So I have no problem calling out an officer if he's wrong.
Well, I appreciate you calling in, Mike. St. James, Charlie, hold tight. We're going to get to you after this next quick break. I do want to hear what you both have to say. And we'll see what the latest in the new shooting, which they're calling accidental, which still boggles my mind. And see what's happened today in the trial. Stay tuned. Be right back.
He may not know whether he's coming or going, but whether you're going going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings 6 till 9 and afternoons 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
I'm taking time to remind you about my good friend John Williams and the great folks at Mortgage Corporation of the South. They have helped me so much, and my audience, several members of my audience, get new financing. Whether it's VA, FHA, or conventional loan, Mortgage Corporation of the South is your go-to new home or existing home financing destination. They've handled my personal home and did an outstanding job and saved me tons of money. So call John Williams and the gang at Mortgage Corporation of the South, 567-9000, and let them help you. Good credit, not such a good credit, that Mortgage Corporation South puts you on the right side of lending. 567-9000, NMLS number 232-876, an equal housing lender.
Ah, springtime in Alabama, when a young man's fancy turns to tuning up his AC. Clark Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing, your Bryan dealer. How can we make you smile?
Hi, Clark. I have a problem with my AC system.
What is it?
You know, the machine that cools my house?
Right. I'm on my way. Tell me, how long has it sounded like this?
A year, or two, or maybe five.
Son, you ought to join the Clark Club.
I don't play golf.
No, no. This is a program that automatically includes spring and fall tune-ups for your cooling and heating system.
Oh, so I won't forget.
Exactly. Just $159 a year includes two tune-ups, plus members get a lower service fee and great discounts on repairs and supplies like filters and thermostats.
Perfect. Hey, can I also get a reminder about my anniversary?
You're on your own there, kid. To keep your AC system running great, better call Clark. Visit clarkcomfort.com for more information.
Bryant, whatever it takes, better call Clark.
$159 Clark Club price covers one system with discounts for additional systems. Alabama certification 99004.
Worth Cleaners, your professional dry cleaner in the River region, has been considered the best of the best for 30 years. You can expect the same great service whether you visit one of their two Montgomery locations or you take advantage of their free pickup and delivery service at your home or office. The lobby and drive-through windows are open 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday and 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Saturdays. Worth Cleaners' helpful and knowledgeable employees stand ready to answer your questions about your dry clean clothing, bedspreads, wedding dresses, dress shirts, even your household wash items. Yes, they'll clean your towel, socks, and undies, just about anything else that you clean at home. Now there's a Worth Cleaners app to make your dry cleaning service easier. Search Worth Cleaners in your app store and download the app. You can link to your account, update your credit card, request pickup service, check order status, and much more. Visit them today at 125 Brown Springs Road, 7825 Vaughn Road, or online at worthcleaners.com. Your family's clothing is worth it. Come by, visit online, or call Worth Cleaners today.
If it concerns your community, you'll hear about it on News Talk 93.1. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
The Dan Morris Show.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. We are talking the George Floyd trial. I guess it's not George Floyd trial, the Derek Chauvin trial, and all that comes with that, because there is a lot that comes with that. There is a lot, as the kids say, to unpack in this situation. Just everything that has followed the situation. We've got St. James, who has been patiently, as if he's a saint, patiently waiting to chat with us on this topic. How's it going?
It's going good. April Marie?
Yes.
Is it Fogel? Are you related to the pop singer Fogel?
I am.
Was it Dan Fogel?
I'm April Marie Fogel, but I am not related to any pop singer that I know of. Nor am I related to the Subway guy. I've had people ask me that, too.
Okay. Yeah, I think the last call was an officer, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, he said he does not a guilty verdict of some sort would get ugly. And when he said that, I said, Lord, I hope so. I hope it gets King Kong ugly, to include men, women, children, and pets.
Really?
As it should.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
You don't think our...
Oh, yeah.
See, this is where I say...
Yes,
we have got to find a way... There is a solution that doesn't include some of the destruction that we've seen in the past?
Well, just Chauvin could have avoided that. It's too late for that now. I work in semi-law enforcement, and I was trained, once you handcuff a person, you're responsible for it. And what could he have possibly done, handcuffed? He was already out of breath, begging for his life. What kind of damage could he have done with four men, with tasers, with batons, and supposedly training on the curb? He probably would have thanked the officer for allowing him to live. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. No.
And I want to say, and let me say, you know, and let me make a predicate here. And I want to make the emphasis on it's a predicate. If he had been a black officer and he put his black knee on the red neck of another suspect, civilian or whatever, I would feel the same way, like I told Dan the other week. I mean, it's ridiculous what some people are saying.
So what?
And I guess. Who was that? Red Top, Papa B. It would be fine if that was their brother, from what I'm hearing, or uncle, or cousin, or dad. Would they have been okay with that and mitigate it?
Well, see, and that's the two perspectives we have here. The two perspectives we have here is, you know, is you looking at it from the standpoint.
I'm looking at the officer with his left hand casually in his left pocket and his boot off the ground for 9 minutes or more.
It was a lot.
Yes, it was a whole lot.
Now, let me ask you your perspective on, I'm going to go back to something you said earlier, the perspective of they should. What should they do that? Where do you draw the line in how we react and how others react to a non-guilty verdict, should they have it? Do we go back to, are you talking peaceful protests, or are you saying burn things down?
And to go beyond, if that had happened in Montgomery, I would be a willing participant. And it shouldn't just be the police station. It should go all over the suburbs and everywhere else.
So you're,
I'm sorry.
You're saying burn it down.
Yes. Have a good day.
Wow.
Bye.
Okay. See, St. James, I'm interested by those who think that, because I don't know what it solves. And I have been to my fair share of rallies or protests of sorts, usually for political causes that don't get carried away. And I know that we have created real change in this country, including the bringing about of our country by revolution. But I don't know that we bring about revolution and change in our criminal justice field by the riots and the destruction. And actually, I'm going to go back. I'm going to walk that back a second. I'm going to say, I know we don't. That is what gets us to this race war. Because I've seen a lot of my liberal friends take on the cause of a, quote, ally, where they buy into the white fragility mentality, where they, and I don't, by the way. I've read the book. I want those hours of my life back. I am not a full of hate. I don't think I need to examine my whiteness. I know that I have worked very hard to change my own circumstances. I think that we can want to move forward in all things in which racial injustice is involved without resorting to violence, destruction, riots, that sort of thing. And part of that is just my love for our country. People build up businesses. And whether they be, no matter their race, whether they man, woman, whatever race they are, I don't look at a business and feel like it's within anybody's right to destroy what somebody else has built. And I know we get angry. I get angry all the time. I'm going to tell you. I look at what's going on in our country, and I get frustrated and angry. I look at individuals who put COVID patients in nursing homes and go, what in the world? I get angry. I look at bureaucrats who are the mess at the border. I get angry. I get angry, and it's not a partisan issue. I look at our jails here in Alabama, and I get angry. I look at the way our veterans are treated and I get angry. But never have I been so angry. I think the solution is burning things down, or destroying another man's work, or terrorizing neighborhoods. I have yet to be that angry. And I have yet to find an issue that I think, that I look at and I say, you know what, they are well within their rights to do that. No, we have a right to peacefully assemble. All right, there's that. Charlie, you have been patient. Hello, Charlie.
Hey, Anne-Marie, I tell you right now, the guy that you just had on your caller,
yes,
he is nothing but a destroy this country. What this guy done to George Floyd, you know, if he's guilty, he should pay the price. He should pay the price. But let the justice system work for itself. We have got too many people out here that I agree with you 100% that want to see a confrontation between the two races. They want that. They want it. But for a man to get on the radio and say that he would participate in burning the city of Montgomery down, he needs to be arrested if it ever came to that, because that is wrong. That destroys innocent people's lives. It destroys everybody's life. And if you go back in time, Anne-Marie, you will see where police officers, the men, and I appreciate Mike calling in and telling us about his 33 years of service. I commend the man on that. But if you go back and look, officers in a situation, they now, I don't know this guy, and I'm not taking up for him, but they are trained to get control of the situation. If you look at the video, George Floyd is saying, before they ever put him on the ground, is that he cannot breathe. He cannot breathe before they ever put him in a position. But they also, the officers are asking him to get control, to allow them to put the handcuffs on him. And he would not do that. But I can tell you right now, this situation with this rioting and stuff, you deal with it with an iron fist. You've got to put a stop to it. Or you know what? This country will burn. It will burn eventually like a pine stump. It won't stop burning. And there's people that want to see it happen. But this guy that called in and said what he did, he is a stark raving idiot. That's it. It's disgusting to hear somebody say, because you know you've got all types listening to you guys, and you've got young people. I was walking through Lowe's the other day, and this dude was coming down through there, had his tattoos all over him, and on the back of his forearm it said F you. You tell me what kind of person that is.
It's
disgusting. But if you go against what they do and you try to get control of what they're doing, riding in the streets and all like that, it blooms up in a big word, and it's called racist. That's it right there. They think some of these people feel like whatever they commit, whatever crime they commit, it's okay. It's okay. Because you better not convict them. Because if you convict them, we're going to burn your ass down. And it is just, it's getting to just a terrible, terrible situation. I really feel like this trial, we're going to see some stuff. Well, we're already seeing. But it is ridiculous for this individual to say what he had.
Charlie, I have that same emotional response when we started seeing this in Birmingham when it initially happened when I had that same, there was a gentleman there who was calling for things to be burned down, calling for neighborhoods to be, you know, no rest at night. Let's terrorize people. It was the same type of situation. And every fiber of my being was just appalled by it. There is no situation in which that kind of activity is necessitated, and that includes if there is a verdict rendered in this case that that shows reasonable doubt existed. You are listening to April Marie Fogle filling in for Dan Morris. That's April Marie, not Anne Marie, but April Marie. You can find me at April Marie, APRYLMARIE, on Facebook and Twitter. And I will be right back after this short break.
The Dan Morris Show.
Want to carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
What's your biggest investment? More than likely, it's your home. So treat it that way when you hire a painting contractor. At PBS Painting, there are no gimmicks, no $99 specials. Just quality painting and someone who treats your home with the same respect that you do. At PBS Painting, we have been painting for years and look forward to many more years to come. With PBS Painting, the job gets prepped properly, whether it's cleaning, scraping, or priming. We always use quality products, which is a must for a quality paint job. So if you're looking for a painter that doesn't need upfront money and is on the job at all times, then please give me a call. Scott Bowers and PBS Painting, 294-5122. That's PBS Painting, 294-5122. Look at some of our work on Facebook at PBS Painting Montgomery.
Hi there, I'm Kim Williams with Alabama Home Mortgage.
And I'm Madeline Cannon, and we understand what it means to serve. As children of military veterans, we are committed to providing our service members with the very best mortgage rates and experience.
Our community is full of veterans that would benefit from a VA interest rate reduction refinance loan, IRRL for short. For those veterans who currently have a VA loan, this program is reserved exclusively for you.
We can lower your rate and lower your payment with no appraisal or income documentation required. You'll even skip a month payment, maybe two.
An Army veteran purchased a home in Pike Road just over a year ago. We were able to drop her interest rate over a point and save her $418 a month with a VA interest rate reduction loan. Folks, if you have a VA loan, you owe it to yourself to pick up the phone.
Call Alabama Home Mortgage today at 567-4223 or visit us online at myalabamahomemortgage.com. Call Alabama Home Mortgage because there is a difference in mortgage companies.
NMLS 1586-368, Equal Housing Lender.
If you need a plumber, call a plumber. If you need an electrician, call an electrician. Now, if you need excellent service on your heating and air, call Mays Heating and Air, 361-1895. Mays Heating and Air is locally owned. You can take advantage of Mays' lower overhead and lower prices. Trust your family's comfort and your biggest investment, your home, to Mays Heating and Air. Their work is guaranteed, and they'll be there when you need them. Mays Heating and Air offers smart financing with Alabama Power and Spire, including commercial replacements. If you've been shocked by an estimate from another dealer, then you'll want to call Mays Heating and Air for a free estimate. Play it safe. It's time to get your spring checkup. Right now, it's a real deal. Call Mays. It pays for heating and air service and new or replacement units. 361-1895. 361-1895. Or go to maysclimate@gmail.com. State Alabama license number 89388.
Trust Mays Heating and Air. They've been in business for 35 years.
Jerry Todd here with the Kickback Ranch Event Center and RV Park. We would like to invite you to our first ever live consignment auction Saturday, May the 1st. Gates open at 10 a.m. Auction begins at high noon. Items already consigned include household, farm and garden, antiques, and much more. Old-fashioned country auction. Got a pig, goat, chicken, tractor? We sell it. So if you have items to consign, contact us at the Kickback Ranch. This is going to be a fun-filled family day. There will be food trucks, vendors of all kinds, a water slide, and kids' playground in full swing. You don't have to just come for the day. Stay the weekend in one of our cabins or bring your RV and stay in our new RV park with full hookups available. Consignment auction, Saturday, May the 1st at the Kickback Ranch. Gates open at 10 a.m. Auction at high noon. For more information or directions, go to kickbackranch.net. That's kickbackranch.net or call 286-4140. That's 286-4140.
John Bobo here with Capital Tractor. When getting the job done right is job one, you need Kubota construction equipment. From Kubota compact track loaders to the number one selling compact excavator, to do it all and to do it right. See us today, Capital Tractor, Montgomery and Brundage.
Don't miss the Health and Wealth Show with David Ernest. Laughs, fun, and some priceless financial advice from Montgomery's premier asset preservationist. Weeknights at 6 on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Rich Thomas Weather, brought to you by H&H Carpet. For all floor covering and granite products, see H&H Carpets for the guaranteed best price. H&H Carpets, across from Walmart on the Atlanta Highway.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Well, hi, everybody. We are enjoying a very nice weather pattern, and boy, do we deserve it. Tonight, clear skies, cool, but not too cool. Overnight, low temperature down to about 54. Tomorrow, just like today, lots of sunshine around, high temperature up to about 84. I think scattered showers and thunderstorms will be back in the forecast by about Wednesday with a high in the upper 70s. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
We're redesigning financial freedom at CBNS Bank. Make purchases at participating stores and restaurants using your CBNS Bank debit card through your mobile device with Mobile Wallet. Charges and fees may apply from your cellular service provider. Contact your service provider for information. Member FDIC.
News and talk without the static. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
The Dan Morris Show.
Good afternoon, everyone. Well, you have made it to the final half hour with your guest host today, April Marie Fogle. Thank you for all of your calls as we have discussed this very sensitive subject. I have found a lot of people not wanting to talk about this because it's one of those cases where I know even in big groups or in group conversations, people are saying, you say one wrong thing and or stay silent or don't challenge someone and all of a sudden you're racist. Mm-hmm. This fear of being called racist has, I believe, led to a lot of challenges that have nothing to do with racism. But if you just call someone racist... First off, I have seen repeatedly that that anything that is that the person who perceives an action as racist gets to determine whether or not it's racist, which seems like a very broad definition of racism. Mm-hmm. It's really tough if we can't solve the problems, we can't address the problems, if we can't talk about them, as dicey as they are. Dawn has been patiently waiting on the line. How's it going, Dawn?
Oh, it's going great. I don't know what I'd do if it was any better. Hey, you know, if we got to blame anybody, I think we need to blame the people who write the laws and expect police to carry them out. You look at Eric Garner in New York. They wrote a law about, they put a lot of taxes on cigarettes, said you couldn't sell them individually. Eric Garner kept going out there day by day selling cigarettes, and the officers finally came arrest him. And he said, no, you're not going to do that. They claimed he was strangled, but the autopsy showed that he died from a heart attack. On Floyd, let me correct something Mike said. It's not two autopsies on Floyd. There was one autopsy, and they said he died from hypoxia. On the autopsy, the coroner, not the coroner, but the pathologist, actually layered the skin back on his neck and shoulder to look for signs of bruising, and he found none of it. There was no injury to his airway. The hyoid bone, which is one that's most time fractured in a strangulation, was fine and intact. When you die from hypoxia, you could die from not having getting air into your lungs. You can die by simply that your heart is not pumping the blood to your brain. So the question gets to be, obviously what Chauvin did looks awful, it's ugly. But the question gets to be, is that really that caused the death? And that's, we're supposed to have reasonable doubt in our country. But they should have never allowed that city to be, that trial be in Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. Well, you got people out there saying they're going to burn the city down if they don't get the correct decision. And that's wrong. And I'd like to correct, comment on one more that you talked about today, the taser thing.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you hadn't seen the body cam video on that.
I've just read the transcript where she said she was tasing him and then said, oh, my God, I shot him.
Well, if you see the video, there's a male police officer trying. They had him out and they had him handcuffed, and he went back into the car and wouldn't come out. There was a male officer trying to pull him out. She steps from around the side and pulls out and says, I'm going to tase you. And then she pulls the trigger, and it's a gun.
And it's a gun, right.
They have a gun on the right side. They have a taser on the left side, and they're both in the same shape. But what she did was just, it was accidental, but she, you know, I don't know what you're going to call that, murder or what, but... she never looked at the weapon she had in her hand. She thought she had a taser. She said, I'm going to tase you if you don't stop doing what you want. But I don't know what a police officer is supposed to do nowadays when people say, you're not going to arrest me. Are you just supposed to say, you're right, go on your merry way?
I don't know. I mean, they clearly can't. They clearly can't do that. You know, this individual had a warrant out for their arrest, which is why they were trying to apprehend him.
It's certainly it's accidental. The woman thought she had the taser in her hand. She pulled the trigger one time. She didn't shoot him five times in the torso or anything else.
Right.
She said, I'm going to tase you. She's looking at the guy, and she pulls it, and it's too late that time. Then she's crying. They actually say this woman... it's suicidal, which I wouldn't doubt at all. But
it's wild.
But there's reasonable doubt with Floyd on what really caused his death. I mean, the guy's got about three times the level of fentanyl in his system that would kill a normal man, and then he's got speed cocktail on top of that. And did you know that it wasn't that long ago he'd already overdosed and was in the hospital?
Yes, the girlfriend testified to that.
The thing that really angers me about Floyd is they made him into a hero. This is the guy who took a pistol and shoved it into a pregnant woman's gut and said, you go give me your money, I'm going to shoot you.
Yeah, I mentioned
that. He was out of prison for that because of COVID. So he's not a wonderful person, and what happened to him shouldn't happen to him, but he should be made into a hero.
I know. They've painted murals of him all around the nation. And as if he is something to look up to. And I understand to some extent that they want to, that the idea is for justice for those, justice is what they're looking for. But this, to put him up is something to emulate is just incredibly frustrating.
I wonder what the woman felt like when he took his pistol and stuck it in her pregnant gut.
I know.
No one ever asked her, how do you feel when he came into the house? Was he a wonderful dad? Was he all this? No, but, you know, it was an awful-looking sight. But he was a very muscular person. If you watch MMA fighting, people would die every dang match if putting a knee on somebody's neck like that did it. But there was no damage to his airway. They layered the skin back. There was no bruising. You know, it just... That's reasonable doubt
I
that
think
the guy died from other causes.
His defense is certainly going to make that case. All right. Well, thanks for holding on, Don. We are going to go to our last break, and then when we come back, I'm going to give a couple updates on this trial and what's happening with this latest shooting. I'm going to talk for a few minutes before we go. It has been my pleasure to be with you guys today. Stay tuned. 15 more minutes. Yeah.
not know whether he's coming or going. But whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings, 6 till 9, and afternoons, 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Come on, boy, finish your business, and we'll get you back inside.
Hey, neighbor, trouble with those allergies again?
Yep, tried just about everything, but he's still scratching all day, every day. Feels so bad for the little guy.
Happened to us not long ago. Randy at Prattville Farm Center recommended Victor dog food. No corn, wheat, gluten, or soy. Plus, it's cheaper than the food I was buying across town.
Happy allergy-free dogs eat Victor dog food from Prattville Farm Center. 1154 South Memorial Drive, 365-5400.
It's time to get outdoors and get together for those fun gatherings and family reunions. Be sure to take care of all your guests with portable toilets from Alabama Dumpster Service. They're delivered where and when you need and picked up by our own fleet of trucks. Our competitive pricing means dependable, affordable, clean, portable toilets. Call us today at 334-288-1500 for availability and schedules, or learn more at alabamadumpster.com.
The River Region's first and only news talk station on FM. Live, local talk. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
The Dan Morris Show.
The Dan Morris Show with your guest host today, April Marie Fogle. I do appreciate you listening. I do appreciate you calling. You will hear back from me when Dan is out. More on that later. There's a lot happening in Minnesota, in Minneapolis, with the George Floyd trial. So much happening. Before I get to the latest updates, I'm going to take Fred's call, because Fred called in.
Yes, I was calling regarding the gentleman a while back that called about if it's not a guilty verdict, that they should burn it down. If it happened here in Montgomery, should burn downtown and move out the suburbs and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the kind of thinking that's going to get people killed in this town, because I live out in the suburb, and I don't look at my neighbors whether they're white or black, but I happen to have some minority neighbors, and they don't want their houses burned down, and I know they're armed as well as possibly I might be. I don't admit whether I am or not. But if somebody comes to my house and is trying to kill me, that would be a real bad decision, and hopefully they'd have a real bad day from that decision. And that's not the solution. The solution, that man needs to look at his heart, and he needs to say, what would God want me to do? What would, you know, the old, what would Jesus do? Jesus would not go and try to burn the place down. He would try to win hearts and minds. As I think Martin Luther King was talking about, that's the way we make change in this country. And I thought we were getting closer to it, but we've got people out there now that should know better. And I've lived in Selma in 64, so I've been with the Civil Rights Movement a long time. I've seen it grow up from its roots and stuff and all that. And I've read what Dr. King has said, and that's where we've got to get to. We've got to understand, and people like to talk about the Bible and all that, you know, and our guns and all that. But bottom line is, the Bible teaches one thing, to love God with all my heart and soul first. And the second commandment is just like the first, to love my neighbors and love myself. If people would practice that, that would be the best thing. There's going to be bad things happen in the world. People are going to make mistakes. Does the police officer need to get hit for murder? I don't know if murder is the right charge. Manslaughter may be more appropriate, but I'm not sure, like you were talking about earlier, the intent. Does he really intend to kill the guy? I don't think he was paying attention like he should have, and like the guy talked about training, maybe his training was inadequate. And if it was, then, you know, some other people need to be held accountable that were responsible in the police force to make sure they knew what the training needed to be. But anyway, I want to say that. I know it's getting close to the top of the hour, so I'll let you go, and you have a blessed day.
Thank you, Fred. When I asked Joey if Fred had a deep accent, because I was thinking my daddy might have been calling from listening on the app. So, Fred, there was a moment there when I was waiting to hear your voice to be like, did my daddy call in? Did I say something wrong? One of these days... Okay, I'm telling you, my daddy's gonna call in. It's gonna be a thing.
Wait, say it again. You're what?
My daddy.
There you go.
The update from yesterday, for those who are not following along at home but are interested, is after yesterday's shooting, the Minneapolis area erupted into looting and riots late Sunday, after the officer fatally shot Wright was his name, during a traffic stop 10 miles away from where Floyd had been died, where he died. We're just going to go with that. A citywide curfew was issued until 6 a.m. today. About 500 people gathered overnight outside a police precinct. This morning, the defense made a motion to sequester the jury, saying essentially that the ramifications of last night's shooting is going to spill over into this trial and make it hard to have a fair verdict. And to some extent, the judge seems to agree and said that sequestering them would only make that worse. I had not considered that part of the trial and the situation.
What does it mean to say you're going to sequester the jury?
So you basically keep them away from seeing media and what's happening outside.
Oh, okay. So you say, hey, come on in and we're going to shut off any outside info. Okay.
And the idea is if they can't see cities being burnt, and burnt, looted, whatever is happening on the outside,
right.
They can't be influenced by it. And the defense's worry was that they would feel like they are going to be responsible for this continuing to happen or happening again if they don't come in with a guilty verdict.
Right.
So will they be responsible? What a heavy burden to have on your shoulder. I still can't believe the trial wasn't moved.
Right.
What a burden to have on your shoulders to watch your community that you love, that is so near and dear to your heart, burn around you, and then have it put on your shoulders if you don't find this guy guilty. And I think that if he is found guilty, his defense is going to use that as an appeal. Is should they have been sequestered, or should the trial have been moved? Because they've dealt with different parts of this throughout the trial. The monetary award to the family was given right as the trial started, if you'll remember. Mm-hmm. And then they had to try to keep that from the jury, and whether or not they could talk about that being being given to the family, or whether it would prejudice them. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to continue to watch this trial. I think we all are. And I'm going to pray, because that's at this point, everything else is out of our hands, right? I'm going to pray, and as we all should, that it doesn't come down to violence breaking out everywhere. That they've called in 500 National Guard. They've started getting them in place early as the trial starts to wrap up. Of course, now they have to contend with this latest shooting. Mm-hmm. We didn't just see these protests and riots and looting in Minneapolis, though. We saw them move to Seattle. We saw them in New York. We saw them in D.C. You know, on a baby tiny scale, we saw a couple here and there in Alabama.
Well, you got to remember Atlanta and the CNN Center.
You're right, Atlanta.
I thought that was the best part of 2020, watching CNN report on CNN being broken into. It was fantastic. I shouldn't celebrate that. That's wrong.
Well,
especially when they're like, it's white nationalists, and somebody's waving the Mexican flag on the top of the CNN logo.
The disinformation that comes out of CNN, I still get amazed by it. I still find myself, and I'm jaded, right? I mean, I am. I am truly a jaded individual. I am skeptical of all mainstream, quote, mainstream media outlets these days. And I still find myself looking at CNN and going, wow.
Yeah.
That's your take? Wow. You didn't cover that at all. Wow. You covered that incorrectly. And I have gotten that way about the New York Times. And you used to be able to really just tell the biased reporters. And I skip bylines by certain individuals because they'll claim to be news and be opinion. I really do think the Project Veritas lawsuit is going to change that, hopefully. And if you're not familiar with the Project Veritas lawsuit, they are suing New York Times.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Over their descriptions of Project Veritas and one of their stories. And I really, truly believe that lawsuits like this, lawsuits like the young man in the MAGA cap, lawsuits to keep the news, the hard news, from becoming all commentary. That's the only way we're going to start getting back to what journalism used to be. There is almost no differentiation between hard news, most hard news content and editorial these days. And there should be. There needs to be. I write editorial content. I don't write hard news. If you can read a piece and know the author's opinion, that's editorial. And even on the, quote, straight news coming out of CNN, I don't know that that exists anymore.
Well, I think, though, most of the, see what you think of this, most of the division in this country, some of it is over a different narrative and how the facts are assembled. But when, you can even be looking and agree on the same set of facts, but when you're coming with different priors, different values, and how you emphasize, you know, what ought to be in the world, I think that's where we're most divided. It used to be a Washington consensus, and there was, for a lot of reasons, a lot more agreement on the basics. And for some reason, there isn't agreement on the basics, and there's distrust at a deeper level. And then you add into it people that are ready to play fast and loose with facts.
Right.
But I think you're seeing the rise of opinions, what I mostly do, because people are looking for what we ought to do. They're looking for perspectives on how do you take these facts and go forward, whether it's a big political decision or not.
Well, part of it is confirmation bias, right?
Oh,
you
sure.
want to read and listen to people you agree with.
Yes.
I used to tune in when I had cable news to Rachel Maddow because I wanted to know what the other side was saying, but then the other side got so wild in their accusations of what I believed or people like me believed that I couldn't even tolerate it because it went from being informative to just being infuriating. And so it's a really tough thing. I resented, and I feel like I can say that, I resented Donald Trump saying all media is the enemy of the people.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that did anything to solve the problem. I think that acknowledging the problem, which is that too many, quote, news reporters and news stories are editorialized, acknowledging that, challenging that is how, in a meaningful way, is how we change things. I guess it kind of comes back down to the, are you going to burn the city down or are you going to stand up to it in a way where you just don't do it? Don't give your money to subscription services. I have a New York Times subscription. I constantly think, this is it. I'm not going to renew this subscription because I'm paying for this junk. And while I like to know what's going on and I like to, you know, have the big worldwide view of what's going on, I also don't want to support an outlet that is this incredibly biased. But for the Project Veritas lawsuit, where he is saying this was opinion packaged as news, I think that is going to lead to changes in newsrooms if he wins, because it sets a precedent where other people who fall victim to that, and there's no other way to put it, they mischaracterize him and his organization. The people who fall victim to that are going to have an opportunity to come back and say, not again. Don't do it again. And corrections hopefully will start being issued, because that's few and far between. And when they do issue corrections these days in the media, they do it quietly. They did that with the officer's death in the January 6th. They said it was a fire hydrant, a fire extinguisher, not a fire hydrant, a fire extinguisher. And then they came back and said, no, maybe it wasn't. But the corrections never get as much traction as the false stories do. And it's a shame. It's truly
really
a shame.
Is.
All right. Well, I appreciate you guys listening to me today. It has been a good show. I appreciate all the call-ins. I do wholeheartedly disagree 100%, and I'm going to say that for the 10th time, with St. James and the idea that we need to burn it down. We have to do the complete opposite. We have to build bridges, because this trial is almost over. And when it is over, we need to be looking at our neighbors for a way to move forward, whatever the verdict is. You have April Marie Fogle and Joey Clark, who's been keeping me and somewhat the callers out of trouble.
Sure.
I will be back again soon. Talk soon.